Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the, ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Welcome to What the Ale. I'm Alana Rai.
And I'm Mama J.
Well, I know it's your episode this week, Mama, but do you have any What the Ale moments for the week?
Let me think. Probably my only What the Ale is I really need to catch up on Drag Race because I had somebody who knows that I watch Drag Race just ask me about it. And I was like, don't talk to me because I'm two episodes behind. So I really need to get caught up on Drag Race because, yeah, the last 2 weeks have been crazy. And that's one of my like guilty pleasures, love to watch that and have been missing it. So
yeah, super fair. I just caught up on Drag Race on Friday, and I know the finale is this Friday, so I've been trying to coordinate with my friends who haven't even been watching this season to be like, we have to watch it together Friday night. So
yeah, well, and that's my thing, is I want to catch up before the finale. So
yeah, because like, you know, you're gonna get it spoiled by the time you get to the finale. I'm a little, maybe next episode we'll have a debrief, because I'm a little I'm shocked by something RuPaul did for this episode. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, yeah, don't say anything else until I catch up. But yeah, so but that's my thing, because you know, that's one thing that I do for myself as a regular thing. Like, nobody else watches it with me except for when you're home. And it's just my thing that I do for myself. And then I have a bunch of friends that watch and we all talk about it. But yeah, I'm two episodes behind and I'm frustrated because the season finale is this week and I've got to catch up. So that's what I'm planning to do on Wednesday, is catch up.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely need to. I didn't watch the reunion episode that aired on Friday, but I watched like all the actual episodes. So
yeah,
and I caught up on Untucked. So I feel like I'm ready to go into the reunion and deal with all the drama.
Stayed up to date with Untucked, so I just have to watch the episodes and the Untucked that goes with the new episodes, and then I'll be good.
Nice. Well, have fun with your RuPaul journey. We'll definitely have to talk about the finale after it happens.
Yeah. What about you? Any What the Ale?
Let's see. I feel like my life has been really crazy this week, but a kind of fun What the Ale moment is that today is the Boston Marathon, or the day we're recording is the Boston Marathon, so that's been very fun. And also, like, two friends that I know from grad school got married this weekend, and I'm like really happy for them.
Cool.
So congrats to them, and go Marathon Monday. I chose really hard not to go out in the public today because it's just a mess and there's people everywhere and it's crazy. So I was like, I'm gonna like work from home, and then if I like have energy, I might go out later. But I think I'm kind of just enjoying my sweats today. So
yeah, that sounds good. Well, and you have had the Boston Marathon experience before as a supporter, because you had a friend that ran it a couple of years ago and you went out and supported, right?
Yeah. So the 2 years I was here for it, I had someone I knew running, and so I got to like support them and do that. And I feel like this year, because like there are people like I sort of know like distantly who are running it, but I feel weird just like showing up and being like, I'm supporting you, and like not, you know, I don't know, I felt a little weird about it, like going by myself. So I was like, meh, I'll just hang out. But anyway, are you drinking anything special?
No, because I literally just left my office, so I'm having some water. But I, with our new schedule, with you being on the East Coast, I need to schedule my days so that when we record, I don't have anywhere to be after.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Or like record on weekends or something now, or something.
Yeah, because the time change is something.
Yeah, it's like not a lot to where like I feel like the time change doesn't really affect you jet lag wise, but it definitely affects you planning out your day wise. Like,
yeah, when you're trying to coordinate with somebody on the opposite coast.
Yeah. But yeah, no,
I drinking anything?
I am having an extra cup of caffeine today, aka cold brew, because I am I woke up and had no energy. I couldn't fall asleep till like 2 a.m. last night. Don't know why. And then like I had to wake up for work today, so I was just a little sleepy. So I'm having some extra coffee.
Very cool.
But all right. Well, I'm excited to get into your story this week. I know we're getting back into our normal routine here.
Yeah, so I decided to cover the death of George Reeves. Do you
Ooh.
know who George Reeves is?
Superman.
Superman. So he is the actor that played Superman in the TV series Adventures of Superman from 1952 to 58. And he was born on January 5th, 1914. He was born with the name George Kiefer Brewer. He was born in Woolstock, Iowa, and his parents, he was born like 5 months after their marriage, so it was very early in their relationship, and the marriage ended up dissolving shortly after he was born. And so his mom ended up moving to Iowa and then to Kentucky, and then they eventually made their way out to California, and that's where she met Frank Bisolo. And he was somebody who ended up adopting George, and they were married. And so at that time, like, George never saw his bio father again after they moved to California and Frank adopted him. And then that marriage also ended in divorce. But the saddest part of this is that his mother told him that his stepdad died by suicide. And it wasn't until years later that George found out that that wasn't true. But I just don't know what kind of parent thinks that's the best story to tell your kid. Like, if you don't want to tell them the reasons why you're separating, or whatever, I don't even know what the circumstances were, but if you don't want to tell your kid that some of the truth about some of those things, fine, but don't tell them something that's so traumatic as, your stepdad who loved you committed suicide.
Yeah, that's actually insane. Actually insane.
And then he didn't find out until years later, but so that means that was time he probably lost with him that maybe he would have wanted to see him. And then, he's got to have a lot of anger towards his mom too for that lie, because that's a huge lie.
Oh, totally. Well, and to say something so, like, I feel like saying died by suicide is so much worse than, like, he died in an accident,
Yeah.
or, like, I don't know. There's something, like, even more messed up to me that it was like he died by suicide. I don't know.
Because people, children especially, even if you're in high school or something, a lot of times feel guilt. Like, is there something I did or didn't do that drove them to that? And of course, it's nobody's fault, but people question those kind of things. So to me, it's just a horrible story to tell anybody ever, if it's not true, because it's terrible enough when it is true and people have to deal with all of those kinds of thoughts. So just really sad that his mom did that. But so he started acting and singing in high school, and he continued performing on stage when he was a student at Pasadena Junior College.
Cool.
And he met his first wife, Eleonora Needles, during that time when he was working at Pasadena Playhouse. But they divorced like 10 years after they had gotten married, and they didn't have any children together. Now, Alana, do you know what one of his like really big movies was? I mean, he was a small part, but he was a suitor for somebody.
A suitor for somebody in a big movie?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I feel like it's going to be something I'll be like, oh, that was him, like as soon as you say it.
Yeah. So apparently he was in Gone with the Wind. And that was, I've only seen the movie once, so I would not have remembered him anyways, because I was a kid and probably didn't really know who he was.
Was he like one of the first like love interest people that like died or whatever? Because doesn't Scarlett go through like four men before she finally gets with Rhett? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, I don't know which one he is, but yeah, so he was one of the suitors. It was a very small role for him, but he did get to meet Scarlett O'Hara and be a suitor for her, which I think is very cool, because I didn't know that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie since I was maybe like 14, so I definitely wouldn't have remembered.
Yeah, I saw it when I was a kid. Did I see it with you when you were 14? I don't remember. Or did you watch it at school? Oh, I did. I probably fell asleep because I really don't remember watching it with you.
I remember it so vividly because it was like extra credit in eighth grade to watch it. And so we like Netflix ordered it where they mailed us the DVD and then we like
Oh,
watched
wow.
it.
I remember those days ordering DVDs. Yeah, I really don't remember watching it the second time. It's very long. That's
Yes,
all
that
I
is true.
remember. Okay. So after he filmed Gone with the Wind, he went back to Pasadena Playhouse, and apparently he was offered a contract by an agent from Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
And he fulfilled several roles right away, so that by the time Gone with the Wind was actually released, he already had five other movies come out under the Warner Brothers contract. So that's how fast he was like getting these roles. But it seems like they weren't really big roles, or like he wasn't gaining a lot of fame from the roles. And so he was really struggling to find roles that would like advance his career. And over time, the Warner Brothers agent ended up dissolving the contract with him,
Oh,
and he
wow.
started working with 21st Century Fox and Paramount Pictures. And yeah, it was somewhere in there that that's when he changed his name to a stage name. Now, I think throughout everything that I read, he kept struggling, like feeling like even though he was getting some work, that it wasn't enough work, or it wasn't the kind of work he wanted to do that he felt good about, or that he felt was like going to advance him, or that he was really proud of. So he decided to take a break from acting, and he enlisted in the army in 1943. And some people have said that he was inspired to enlist because of his role in the movie So Proudly We Hail. But when the war was over, he returned to Hollywood, and then but by then, he found out that the Hollywood production had slowed down significantly while he was away. So there was just not a lot of work. There was not a lot of projects being worked on. So, there were times where he couldn't find any work at all. And then there were times where, he would get little parts here and there, but nothing that was going to be consistent. And then this is around the time that he got divorced. So it was around 1950. And then in 1951 is when he was offered the role of Superman in the TV series Adventures of Superman. And I guess he was like a little hesitant to take the role, because I guess at the time a lot of people considered TV work like not very important, and that not very many people would see it. And so it wasn't seen as like like distinguished or good work. It was almost like embarrassing if you took TV work, which is interesting because I would think you'd want to take any work where you're getting paid and your name and your face is out there. But
I mean, I don't know though. Like, there are definitely some big actors that do TV now, but I feel like a lot of the actors that do TV, you don't necessarily know their names, whereas the actors in movies, you know their names.
yeah, or the actors start in TV and then they work their way up to the movies.
So I could see him seeing that as a step down.
If he's already been in movies, yeah, I can see it as a step down. So the filming of this, like, they were like very tight on their scheduling, so they would make two episodes every 6 days.
Oh, wow.
And then they would have like multiple scripts that were being filmed simultaneously in order to like take advantage of whatever the sets or props that were out or whatever. So they might schedule, or schedule to do like scenes from three or four different episodes, but like at this one particular scene.
Oh,
So
wow.
it was a pretty stressful schedule, and they had a lot that they had to remember and keep track of, because they were filming multiple episodes at a time sometimes. So it did seem pretty stressful. I guess his career as Superman actually began with a role in Superman and the Mole Man, Mole Men, and that was a film that was intended to be a B picture, but it was also the pilot for the series. But like I said, immediately after they finished that, which is the pilot, they started production on the first episodes, and they shot all of the first season's episodes over 13 weeks in the summer of 1951.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
So
fast.
the yeah, so the series went on the air that following fall. And you know, he became a national celebrity. But well, and then ABC ended up purchasing the show, which gave him like a national broadcast. So, you know, he did get greater visibility and a lot more people were seeing the show. But it sounded like he was worried that all of his fans were kids, and he was very you know, worried or just unhappy with the fact that he didn't really think he had any many adult fans, because he saw it as like it's a, you know, a show that kids would watch. So he saw it as like, you know, he it's still not in line with where he wanted his career to go or what he was hoping for. Yeah, which is sad because, you know, I mean, you think of all the Superman stuff that's come out since that time, and I mean, I know more adults that are into that stuff than I do kids, you know. But at the
Yeah, I
time,
mean,
you just couldn't see how big it was going to be.
well, at the time where comic books, I mean, they must have been fairly new, right? Like,
I
I feel like a
don't
lot of the comics kind of got their start in like the 50s or the maybe the 40s, but I feel like, yeah, I wonder if
Yeah.
it makes sense. It's just, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of my friends are big superhero
Yeah,
nerds.
for sure. When I just, I mean, most of my friends are too. So it's very like adults are very into it these days. Maybe back then, you know, you weren't really supposed to admit that you like that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like seen as unprofessional or immature.
Yeah. Now, I know I already talked about the busy filming schedule, but they also had this 30-day clause in all of their contracts, which meant that the producers could demand their exclusive services for a new season on 4 weeks' notice. And that meant that it re was really hard for them to take any long-term work. So like major films were kind of out of their, you know, they didn't have that really as an option because there's no way that they could do work on like a longer film, a major film with this 30-day clause, which they could just be called back. So, you know, I think people saw it as like the, you know, they were trying to keep all these actors in check and to themselves so that they couldn't work. And so knowing that he was already feeling like his career could be getting stuck here, you know, having this clause in the contract made that even more true because he really couldn't take any movie jobs, you know. Yeah. And then you know, obviously he was getting paid regularly, he was making money, but in order to kind of supplement his income a little bit, earn a little bit extra, he did start doing personal appearances. And you know, they say he had a real affection for for the kids and the young fans, and that he really tried to you know, present as Superman and like a good role model. And so like he wouldn't smoke cigarettes around the kids, and then he eventually ended up quitting smoking, which is good.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah, and then he was pretty private about his personal life, romantic life. He would be very discreet. And so, you know, but he just tried to be a good role model. And I don't remember if you ever heard that there was one appearance that he was at where a kid like brought a gun and like was like wanted to see if he could actually stop bullets or whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, but he even that, like, you know, where his life was at risk, he handled it really well. And he just told the kid, hey, you know, we can't do that here because what if the bullet, you know, bounced off of me and hit one of the other kids here? You know, so he talked the kid out of firing the gun, you know, but that's pretty scary to think a kid was able to bring this gun trying to shoot Superman just to see if he could, you know, have the bullets bounce off of him.
Yeah, and like kudos to him for not freaking out. Honestly, I don't think I'd be able
I would, I'm
to
sure he was freaking out, but, you know, but he was trying to stay professional, but he handled that so well, I think. And then, you know, there's a documentary called Look Up in the Sky, The Amazing Story of Superman. And in that, Jack Larson said that when he first met Reeves, he told him that he enjoyed his performance and so proudly we hail. And Reeves said that if Mark Sandrich had not died, he would not have been in this monkey suit. Because, apparently there was somebody else who was supposed to be there. But, him calling it a monkey suit was just another way of saying, like, he felt like he was just out there to entertain kids and he didn't really have any adult fans. So, he worked on some other things and, he was really trying to kind of come up with some of his own projects. And, but he just, it was hard to get funding for some of the projects he was working on. And, and then he was also, working on wanting to, he wanted to serve as like the national chairman for the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation, which, that was like a disease that, was somebody in his life had been impacted by. So that, he would work to raise money for things like that. And so during the seasons, he would be filming like on that crazy schedule, but he would try to do other things to, kind of have other things that give him like sense of purpose and all that. So, after two seasons, he was like very dissatisfied with the salary and the one-dimensional nature of the show and the character. And so he wanted to quit. And so the producers did start looking elsewhere for, somebody to like take his place. And during that time, he did establish like his own production company and all of that. But they offered him an increase in his salary. So, yeah, and I really want to stress, like at the time, he was making like 5,000 a week, which is like 54,000 in today's dollars.
That would be
So,
so nice.
it's a pretty, yeah, I was gonna say that's a pretty damn good paycheck if you ask me. But yeah, so he was able to get the increase in salary, so he came back.
That's good, at least.
Yeah. And then there was like in 57, the producers were considering making like an actual film, Superman and the Secret Planet. And there was a script that was written by David Chandler. And he was somebody that had written for like a lot of TV shows. But the negotiations fell through. And so they just began the new series, was with 26 episodes, but the movie would never go into production. Okay. Well, and then I was just gonna say, before we go to his death, I was just gonna share that, he did appear as Superman on I Love Lucy, which is a
I feel like
show
I've heard
that I
about
know you and
this.
I both love. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the
And then,
episode, though.
I know I mentioned that when he was in high school and like at the Pasadena Playhouse that, he was sing and act. But he was on a he did like sing perform a song with Tony Bennett on his show in
Oh, wow.
56. And I was like, oh, I never knew that. Like I didn't realize that he was a singer too.
That's super cool.
Yeah, but after the I Love Lucy show, he said that Superman was no longer a challenge to him. And he said to a friend, Bill Walsh, he said, here I am wasting my life.
Oh, man. Okay.
And I just, I feel sad for him because, again, I don't think he realized the impact it was going to have long term. He just couldn't see it. And so, I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, but you also think about, like, I feel like a lot of people were talking about somewhere recently they were talking about oh my gosh, the original actor who played Frankenstein, which is escaping my brain right now, Boris Karloff, there we go. But he like lived in this apartment in New York and he like loved to like interact with kids and stuff in the apartment, but like people were so afraid of him because he was Frankenstein that like trick-or-treaters would never come to his door and like that type of thing. And like you think about that with like this type of situation where yeah, he probably had a lot of trouble escaping like that Superman persona,
Well, and to
obviously.
try to have to be a good role model everywhere you go all the time, I think that would be exhausting too. I mean,
Yeah,
I try to be a
absolutely.
good person. I try to live a good life, but if I knew people were watching me all the time, that would feel tiring, you know?
Oh yeah, exactly. Great. I would get burnt out so quickly.
Yeah. And honey bunny, I think I misspoke earlier when I said he married Leonor Lemon back then. That was Tony Mannix. And they split in 58, and that's when he started dating they call her a society playgirl, Leonor Lemon.
Oh,
And
okay.
so they were scheduled to marry on June 19th, and they were supposed to spend their honeymoon in Tijuana.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, which is, you know, when I was,
Maybe
because
back then it
I'm from
was
Southern
different.
California.
I said maybe back then it was different.
Well, no, but like when I was a, you know, a kid, I lived in Southern California. So we go to Tijuana all the time. Like we would go there just for the day and go shopping or, you know, definitely when I was a little bit older, we go down there and go to the clubs and, you know, or we'd go to Rosarito and like get a little resort by the beach. I mean, so, you know, it's a fun place to be back then. I know it's probably, yeah, it was probably a little better kept back then, but yeah, I've definitely spent a lot of time in Tijuana and had a fun every time. So anyways, yeah, just more where he was trying to get some projects out on his own and just things were not working out well. And they were going to do like a stage show with Superman and tour Australia. But he just really, you know, he didn't want to really reprise the role again. So, but this is where I'm going to get into his death. So there are not a lot of details. There is, you know, different theories. I mean, it has been ruled a certain way, but like there are different theories into what could have actually happened. So he did die of a gunshot wound to the head in the upstairs bedroom of his home. And this was between 1:30 and 2 a.m. on June 16th, 1959. And his fiance, Leonor Lemon, was having some party guests over to the home, and so they were all there at the time of the shooting. Now, Leonor said that she was in the living room with the guests at the time of the shooting, but some people have said that, that Fred Crane, who, you know, was one of Reeves's friends, they had worked on Gone to the Wind together, Gone with the Wind together. They said that either Lemon was either inside or in direct proximity to Reeves' bedroom at the time of the shooting. And according to Crane, you know, even though he wasn't present, he said that somebody named Bill Bliss, who was there, told Millicent Trent after the shot rang out, while Bliss was having a drink, that Leonor Lemon came downstairs and said, "Tell them I was down here. Tell them I was down here the whole time." So, there are a few things that were very strange. So, some of the physical findings that were reported by the investigators of the LAPD was that there were no fingerprints on the gun, and there was no gunshot residue on Reeves's hands. Now, the gunshot residue, some people say that they may have not looked for gunshot residue because that kind of testing wasn't routinely performed in 59. I mean, it was technology that they had, they knew they could, but that it wasn't like a routine thing they did. So, you know, it may just be that they didn't test for that, but there were no fingerprints on the gun. So,
And he
and then,
wasn't wearing gloves.
huh?
He wasn't wearing gloves or anything.
No. And then the bullet that killed him was recovered from the bedroom ceiling, and the spent shell casing was found under his body. There were two additional bullets that were discovered embedded in the bedroom floor. And then it said all three bullets had been fired from the weapon that was found at his feet, but all the witnesses said they only heard one gunshot, which is strange because there were definitely three bullets fired that, or maybe I don't know if we know it was that night or not, but there were definitely three bullets fired, but they say they only heard one. And,
Interesting.
you know, I know they were having a party, so there were people there, but there was no forced signs of forced entry or any other physical evidence that somebody else had been in that room with him. That was like somebody that was not a party goer that was invited there. But even though there were some questions, his death was still officially ruled a suicide. And that was pretty much based on the witness statements saying that he was up there alone. But the op autopsy report does say that it's a suicide.
But you said, okay, my question is, if the bullet was in the ceiling, are they assuming he shot, not getting graphic, but he would have had to shoot like from a very like sharp angle, probably, right?
Yeah, I would think so, but I don't really know. But yeah, I mean, if it ended up lodging into the ceiling, it must have went straight through his head into the ceiling. Now, obviously, people knew that he wasn't quite happy with his career. Lemon said that he had been depressed and that he would say that he had a failed career, even though I think anybody that was looking from the outside would not agree that he had a failed career. I mean, he was Superman. He was admired by a lot of people. He was working steady, you know, but he felt like a failure, according to her. And other people have said that he made comments like that. So, you know, that part is probably true. Newspapers and like wire service reports said that Sergeant V.A. Peterson, who works for the LAPD, said Miss Lemon blurted, "He's probably going to shoot himself. A noise was heard upstairs." She continued, "He's opening a drawer to the get the gun. A shot was heard. See there, I told you so." And that all seems very strange. Because, you know, some people say she was near the room or in the room at the time. And then this accounting is that she was like basically narrating that he was up there killing himself in front of all her party guests.
Yeah, almost like what was said before he left the room? Like, did
I
they
don't
say
know.
anything?
Well, that's what I didn't see anything about. Like, you know, had he been like at the party and then went upstairs, or was she just entertaining her friends and he was staying out of the way? Like, I don't know any of those details. You know, I definitely know there have been times where, you know, I've had a get together with friends and my partner would be in the different room because, you know, like giving me my time. So it could have been something like that, but it really didn't say. But if she said all that, that's clear that she knew he was going to do that, or she knew somebody was up there doing that to him.
Yeah, like I wonder, like, this is gonna sound really morbid, but like, what if he had said something like, I might as well just like shoot myself and like walked away, and then she was like joking but didn't realize, but then you would think she would react with like, oh my God, you know,
Yeah, like, I mean, if that's true that she knew that the sound of the drawer was opening and that's where they kept the gun or something, you would think she'd run up there and try to stop him. But I don't know.
Just interesting.
So he is interred at the Mountain View Cemetery and Mausoleum in Altadena, California. And he, in 1960, he did receive the Hollywood Walk of Fame star on Hollywood Boulevard. And in 85, he was posthumously named one of the honorees by DC Comics and the company's 50th anniversary publication, 50 Who Made DC Great. So again, you know, he didn't realize how much people really loved him and his work, which is sad that he never got to see that. Now, his mother did think that, you know, they ruled it a suicide too quickly. And so she retained an attorney named Jerry Giesler, and he did go ahead and petition for them to reinvestigate it as a possible homicide. And so they did do a second autopsy at his request. And the autopsy report was basically the same, except for they said there was a series of bruises of unknown origin around his head and body. Which, you know, I think that's very interesting because if we're saying this is a suicide, where did those bruises come from? You know, like that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, or it doesn't, that doesn't seem to be in line with a suicide.
Yeah, I mean, like they were like fresh bruises. They weren't like something that could have just been there because he went like biking or something.
Yeah, it sounded like it was fresh if they were going to include it in the autopsy, but then a month later, after they, couldn't find any direct evidence contradicting their original finding, they did just say that yeah, it was probably self-inflicted. And so there are two actors, Alan Ladd and Gig Young, and they were both like really skeptical that that report, was accurate. They think somebody, I don't know. They just feel like something's fishy behind that. And then Reeves's friend Rory Calhoun told a reporter, "No one in Hollywood believed that suicide story." And so there was this other little thing that, could be a possible explanation, which is, his previous spouse, Toni Maddox, she, she was had been an the wife of the MGM vice president, Eddie Mannix. And so, it was like that Reeves would had like an affair with his wife, and so that was what that relationship was. And then, so some people say Eddie Mannix might have killed him, and then some people say that Eddie Mannix had ties to the mafia, and so that he ordered somebody else to kill him. But apparently, that's what most of the friends or Hollywood elite people that know all these people thought. And then, and just popular culture fun fact is in 2006, the movie Hollywoodland. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw that.
Yeah. It had Ben Affleck was playing Reeves, and Adrian Brody was like an investigator. It was like a fictional character, but it was based on the real life detective Milo Spiraglio. But they kind of like dramatized the investigation of his death, and the film suggests the three possible scenarios: that either it was an accidental shooting by Lemon, that she was in the room, that she accidentally shot him, or murdered by an unnamed hitman under the orders of Eddie Mannix, or that it was like possibly a suicide. But yeah, I mean, to me, like, it can't be a suicide if he doesn't have, there's no fingerprints on the gun. Like, somebody wiped the gun. That was after he was dead. So to me, suicide doesn't make any sense.
Well, and the only way that I could see maybe suicide making sense and there not being fingerprints on the gun is if like Lemon had like held the gun or grabbed the gun and then was like, oh, like crap, I can't do that. And so she like rubbed it real quick and like put it down. Like, you know, that is like something I could see happening. But again,
Yeah.
like it is, if it was a suicide, you could say, like, I was distraught and like ran to my partner who was dead, you know, like it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, but if you believe that one account, it just sounds like she narrated it and then was like, oh, there he goes, he's dead. She didn't seem all that distraught.
Yeah, I mean, did she seem distraught in the other sort of accounts? Like, did she seem.
No, it was just, yeah, the one account was that she was telling people to say she wasn't in the room or near the room. And then the other account was that she like narrated what was happening as it was happening. So, the two accounts that are suspicious kind of stories, those are the two accounts, and both of them seem like she's a shady character.
Yeah, definitely. It has more questions than answers to me. But yeah, I do wonder also because there's another Hollywood murder that I'm interested in covering, so I might do that soon. But in that case, like it was like the, you know, president of MGM came and like took stuff out that could have caused a scandal. And so then part of my brain is like, was there something like that? Like, did the studio get involved? Like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's all very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anything was taken out because, with the people being there for the party, I mean, probably, there wasn't a lot of time for them to like clean a scene or something if they have all those people in the house. But yeah, I don't know, but I think it's suspicious. I don't think it was suicide, even though I agree he sounded like he might have been depressed or at least like, unhappy with his career path or whatever. But he did seem like he kept trying to make things happen in with that regard. So, It didn't seem like he was hopeless. It seemed like he was still working hard to try to find a way to get like involved in different kind of films and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like he was still working and like trying to work and do the things that he, like it doesn't sound like he was like a person that was planning to take his own life, but again, you can't always tell. So, but yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, but it's sad. I hate to hear somebody die so young. I mean, he's about my age, and yeah, and again, to die not even realizing the impact that his work had. He thought he was just an actor for a kids' TV show and didn't realize that so many adults were big fans, and that it led to so many other things. I mean, gosh, how many like DC superhero movies are there, and specific ones that have Superman? I mean, he had a big impact with
Well, I
getting
was
that
gonna say,
started,
how many Supermans have there been now? Like, there's like four or five like reiterations of Superman. Like, it's just become a big thing. Oh.
So, but that's the story of George Reeves.
Well, thanks for sharing. Definitely a sad story. I had heard like a little bit about it, like maybe there was a podcast or something that had like covered it at one point, but I didn't know details. So yeah, thanks for sharing. Felt like I learned something today.
Well, it just seems like there's so many stories like that where, famous people die mysteriously, and the fact that they're so quickly ruled a suicide is always shocking to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Anyways.
Well, I guess getting into some housekeeping things, friends. Keep an eye out for our regularly scheduled episodes every Wednesday. We're going to be getting our April keg to y'all soon. We are on Instagram at What the Ale Pod. You can check us out pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Just search What the Ale Podcast. We also are on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/whattheelpod, we are there. Or you can email us, story suggestions if you wanted us to talk about something, or if you had your own spooky story you want to share with us, at whattheelpod@gmail.com. But outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you telling the story, Mama.
I appreciate you too.
All right, and we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye.